There's 1 minute left in the period. 1 second. Praise the Lord, everyone. Can we stand and go to the Lord in prayer? Amen. There's a number of people that we could list that need prayer. Continue to pray for Sister Carpenter, of course, and Sister Christina Hendricks as they recover. Pray for Johnny Grant, who had open heart surgery now over a week ago, almost 2 weeks. If there's someone you know that needs prayer, or if you need prayer, why don't you lift up your hand and identify that? Praise God. Let's pray for our service as well. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for your faithfulness to us. We know, God, that we sometimes stumble, we sometimes fail, but you never fail. You never falter. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness to us. We ask for your blessing and your anointing upon these sisters who are struggling with the effects of cancer, oh God, and recovering, oh God, getting back to life. In Jesus' name we claim this. We release it in Jesus' name. We pray, oh God, for Brother Johnny Grant, for healing and strength in his body as he recovers from this surgery. We pray for our sisters and brothers, Lord, who are maybe not here today due to illness or sickness. Pastor Phil and Sister Carrie Azell. We pray, God, for your blessing upon all of those who are identified here, whose names are being called now. We ask, oh God, for your blessing upon this service, upon our pastor as he brings us the word, but also upon each of us that we can have a right heart and a right mind and open heart to receive your word, that you can do the thing that you want to do in our lives so that we can be a blessing to the world around us. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory in all of this in Jesus' name. Praise God. You may be seated. We want to welcome all of our guests. We're grateful that you are here today. Thank you for being with us. We want to stay connected with you, if you will allow it. There's a kiosk out in the vestibule that you can get some information there, give some information to our greeters and our staff. We just want to let you know how much we appreciate it. There's also a small gift for you there if you're online. And you're a guest of ours, you can go to the bit.ly link, connect to CGC, to CG, connect to CG. If you haven't noticed, our branding has changed a little bit, and you'll see a different logo, CG Church. So keep that in mind. But and if you haven't yet downloaded the Church Center app, I encourage you to do so. It will help you stay in touch with the different activities here at church. You can find a connection group there if you have an interest, and if you want to start a connection group, you can talk to Pastor Jerry about that. A couple of giving options. You can give in the offering box that is in the kiosk out in the vestibule. You can mail in your offering. You can go to our website and follow the instructions that are there for giving. Or, of course, our Church Center app. You can give there. This Thursday, February 23rd, annual business meeting at 7 o'clock. Next Saturday, Section 3 Men's Breakfast here at 9 a.m. If you have any questions about that, see Pastor Jerry Simmons. And then next Saturday also in the evening, Ladies Discipleship class. And if you have any questions about that, you can see Lindsay Simmons. Amen. Burn their phones up. Sunday, March 5th, coming up will be our spring baby dedication service. So if you have a child that you would like to dedicate, you can register on the Church Center app, or you can go to the bit.ly link, CGC Baby. CGC Baby. No, I don't think that's how it goes. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Bring life.
you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
Oh, it's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your
Prodigals return. Don't you tell me
tell me he can't do it. We've seen troubled souls delivered. We've seen addicts finally free. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen faces disappear. We've seen broken bodies heal. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen real life resurrection. We've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen families reunited. We've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We see cities in revival and salvation on the streets. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We see glory fill the nations like the world has never seen. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Cause I know that he can't do it. I believe the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I see. Too good to not believe. The wonder-working God. And you heal because you love. All the miracles I see. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. After everything I've seen. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. After everything I've seen. Too good to not. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Things I'd like to cover before I get into the message, and thank you to our worship team for just a phenomenal atmosphere of the Holy Ghost in this place. I talked about this on Wednesday night. We have a lot of young sports cars. I refer to our young children as sports cars and us older folks as slow-moving vehicles with the triangle signs. And after service, our sports cars want to just get out there and see if they can do 0 to 60 in three pews or less. So what I'm asking is just for the sake of our triangular folks that have the little reflectors. I'm trying to be humorous about something here, but after service, kids are kids. I understand that. But parents, just keep a little bit closer eye on where your children are. So if you're in here and you're talking, make sure your children are in here with you. They don't have to be behaving like little angels, but they just need to be in here with you, okay? So that means the glass between the two doors out there is not one of those cage match rings where that they can enter into, and may the best man or woman win, because our slow-moving vehicles are trying to exit the building, and it's hard to get off that exit when traffic is moving so fast around you. So let's just be aware of that. And also, I just want to give a little bit of a shout out to Joe Stone here, who recently was in a basketball tournament and won their basketball tournament, if I'm not mistaken on that. So congratulations to Josephine. Also, I was talking with Brother Scott Polk last Sunday morning, and he has recently received his journeyman lineman certification. So he was over here. Where is he at now? Still over there. Oh, he's way back. You're hiding back there behind. So congratulations to you, Brother Scott. It's also good to see Brother Jeffrey Caldwell here worshiping with us today. And it's Sarah Repka's birthday today. And it's Caroline's sweet 16 birthday tomorrow. Awesome. Congratulations. I remember that. That seems like, decades ago. She's like, I'm over halfway to 30. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm over halfway to 120. So let's, congratulations on that. Also, we have a couple young people that are going on an NYC trip, and they're going to Japan, and I'm not for sure, I think Samoa, not for sure, Roman George and Sister Kate Rivest, and they're going to have some treats for sale out in the vestibule after service. So if you would like to help them on their missions trip, we're excited about our young people for doing this. And also today it is it's Janesville. Next Sunday, our Janesville church plant will be launching services every Sunday. So we're excited about that. So it will be the last Sunday. Now, it's not their last service, but the last Sunday for the Smiths, and we're going to miss them. Brother and Sister Caskey are going to be popping in and out because he's going to be teaching at our MIT class, and Sister Caskey helps in our Sunday school, so they'll be in and out. But also the Stones will be down there assisting, and then the Millens will be down there assisting. So we're excited about this. Things are going very, very well there. Continue to pray for them, and that God would just continue to move and open up doors of opportunity to serve and to minister to the community there in Janesville. We started on Wednesday evening a series that is it's a little bit more of a difficult covered series. This is still, we're still talking about pressing on as our theme for this season that we are going through as a church. We're talking about preparing our homes for revival, preparing our church for revival. Talking about preparing our minds for revival. We're talking about the battle for the mind. And we started off reading in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I want to just look at that for a minute. Be transformed. Anybody transformed? Transformed, I was talking with Brother Rick Wells this past weekend, and he was working past week, and they were working on some machinery there where he works, and talking about transformers that were malfunctioning. I know in the electrical side of things, a transformer is something that takes electricity from one type of electricity and transforms it to another. So you could take 120 volts, and you can transform it to 12. We have a lot of appliances in our homes that have built-in transformers. It takes that electricity, and it takes it from one state that is not usable state, perhaps, into a state that is more usable. So it transforms. So Paul is talking, be not of this world, but be transformed or changed from one state to another by renewing of your mind, and by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, we asked this question on Wednesday night for those of you that were here, and I want to ask this critical question to each of us today. What if, for a moment, just think about this, what if you did not possess the mental strength or abilities to test that you may discern what is the will of God? What if you did not have the ability to think in that transformation process that Paul is talking about? We are still in our series of Press On, and for the remainder of this month and perhaps maybe into a little bit of March, because I don't want to rush through this for the sake of just rushing through. This series is an attempt to address a number of issues within the church, for that is the most part issues that we just simply don't like to talk about. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to address it. So as we dig deeper into our series, this is my attempt as your pastor, as a pastoral discussion on mental health and how it affects the church, how it affects our families, how it affects us as a person, and the struggles of so many people that may be fighting this silent battle inside of the mind. Now, I will tell you this, that I am by no means an expert on this topic. So what we discuss or what I say is not something that if you come up after church and say, well, Pastor, I'm going to disagree on that, you can go ahead and disagree on it, because I may be right, I may be wrong, I'm not an expert, and I'm not claiming to be an expert. I'm going to be sharing a number of thoughts. Some of these thoughts are my thoughts. Some are thoughts that I have taken from more professional side of the equation, and we're going to merge and put all of this together. As I said, I'm not an expert. Some of you may have much more knowledge on this topic, but as your pastor, this is something I feel that we need to get into. One thing that I do have is I have some very up close and personal experiences on the topics of mental health, and we'll discuss perhaps some of those as we get further into this. But I just want you to understand, Jesus went about everywhere meeting the needs of people. I'm reminded of the story in the scripture of the man that was full of demonic spirits. Now, don't take this and say that if I'm making an equate mental health to demonic spirits, okay? But one thing I want to bring out in this story that's very interesting is before Jesus could minister to his soul, before Jesus could get to his heart and have a discussion with him, he first had to address the spiritual attack on the individual, and then he had to make him whole in his mind. God created us, whether we want to like it, admit it, deal with it or not, he created us with a body. That's what we see here today. He created us with a soul. That's our spirit. That's what's within us. When God breathed into man, he breathed into his breath, his life, and we became a living soul. Along with that living soul, we became a living body, and our minds begin to function. And so we're mind, we're body, and we're soul. Jesus, everywhere he went, he met the needs of people, and he met them wholly. Not H-O-L-Y, but wholly as in whole, W-H-O-L-E. And he understood that if he was going to minister to 5,000, they were hungry, because when he created people, when he created humanity, he gave us stomachs. He gave us minds. He gave us senses, and the crowd was hungry that day, and they kept hearing this little boy's lunch. They could smell perhaps the fish. How many of you, I mean, Friday night fish fries? Oh, yeah, that's what it's all about. I mean, you get up in northern Wisconsin, and I mean, everything is Friday night fish fries. They got bluegill back. They got schmelt. I mean, all of these things that seemingly were like, where did they go? They're back. And they're at Friday night fish fries. Who doesn't like a fry? I like Sunday morning fish fries. I went out the other day and they had walleye and eggs for breakfast. And I'm like, you know what? I haven't had walleye and eggs. How many of you like walleye? Yeah, that's like the Cadillac of fish. And he realized and understood that if he's going to meet their spiritual need, he had to take care of their bellies. So he took a small lunch of a child and began to break it apart, and he fed 5,000 people so he could keep preaching. So we're going to pass the fish, we're going to pass the chips, some tartar sauce and some ketchup and a little iced tea, and we're going to go till 4 o'clock today. I got a few of you bought into that. The rest of you are like, seriously? So here we go. Jesus went everywhere meeting the needs of people. See, he lived in a world of brokenness, and he came to heal the brokenhearted. He created this church as a haven for the broken. The church is for those that are broken. Thus, a church without the broken is within itself broken. That's what we're here for. We all came here with one thing in common. We needed Jesus. And once we found him, we discovered that we still need him. Not all of our problems were solved and disappeared the minute that we repented of our sins, the minute we were baptized in the name of Jesus, and the minute we spoke in tongues. When we come out of that baptismal tank, totally a renewed individual, our credit card is not part of that renewal process. Your house mortgage, your car payment, the problems at work, all of those things are still problems. What changes is your perspective now and your power and authority that God gives to us on how to deal with those problems. But what if you can't think your way through the renewing of your mind process? You see, this is a real problem. This is, medical health is just not a theoretical or an imaginary issue. It's a real problem, and it manifests or it reveals itself in many ways, and at times it can impact every moment and every day of our lives. Talk with someone that has struggles with anxiety, and we're going to get into that in a future lesson. But people that have and struggle with anxiety, just getting on a bus to go to work in the morning and the bus is crowded, can affect how you think your day through. You come into church and the church is crowded, and you wonder why some people like the back corners. Maybe it's because they can't deal with the crowds at the front. You see, we have to look at all of these things. And that in times past, the church has not always been a safe place for us to deal with our brokenness. And we have to take off our masks, church, and we have to recreate this culture of healing. And it doesn't start in the pew. It starts at the home on the sofa as you talk to your children about these topics and subjects. If you don't talk to them, you need to. You see, for years it was just, I've heard it stated that, well, brother, you just need to pray a little more. Sister, you need to fast a little bit more. You need to read your word more. And I'm not disagreeing with all of that, okay? I'm not taking away from any of that. But listen, we have to understand something. Sometimes there's a disconnect. When you first came to the Lord and you knew nothing about God or his word, and somebody tells you to read the King James Version, and they tell you to go in and read a New Testament, maybe Hebrews or James or wherever, and you start reading Old English text, and you know nothing about the characters in it. You don't know anything about the Bible. You don't know who wrote it and who they wrote it to. The First Corinthians is like, what does that mean? There's a disconnect there. And that disconnect is due to simply one thing, just a lack of knowledge on that subject. A lot of us, I can't compete with some of you mentally. Your thought processes are like, you're sharp people. You get into all of this mathematics stuff, and it's like, yep, you lost me. You get into English, you get much past a verb and a noun and an adjective. I know what prepositional phrases are, but you start getting into all of this diagraphing and all of these sentences and stuff. Yeah, you kind of, yep, my mind just starts to wander. Can't help it. That's how I am. So when we look at this, sometimes there's simply a disconnect and we can't get there from where we are right now. Does that make sense? Anybody want to guess what our largest body organ is? The largest organ in our body? Our skin. Good. Anybody want to take and guess what our most complex organ in our body is? Our brain. Okay, remember that. Okay, remember those two. These are going to be vital in our processing today. All right? The ears. Does your ear understand what a guitar sounds like? Does your ear know what a guitar sounds like? No. Your ear has no idea what a guitar sounds like. Does your eyes know what a freight train looks like? No. Does your nose know what bacon smells like? No. No. You know where I'm getting with this. Okay, the eyes have no idea what a train is. All they do is bring in information, and it's through the what nerve? Optic nerve. It's transferred to the brain, and the brain says, hey, wait a minute. I'm picking up something from the sensors in the ear. I hear a train coming. You better notify the foot to hit the brake. Everything is processed in our brain. Our ears just hear the sound, and it's sent to the brain, and the brain determines what sound that is, where it's coming from. The brain is an amazing, complex piece of machinery, if I could put it that way. So my life radically changed a few years ago. We were here on a Friday night. We were having a leadership session with Brother Thompson, and we were doing a little exercise, and halfway through that exercise, the weirdest thing happened to me. My left hand, like right at the wrist, it's almost like somebody put a rubber band around my wrist, and everything from that point to the very tip of my fingers went totally numb. And the right half of my face, it's like you could just draw a line down it. And one half is totally numb. I can't feel anything. The other half you can feel. And we have a lot of medical folks here, and I brought Sister Linda Brown, and I said, I'm not for sure what's happening. They took my blood pressure, and it was like really, really, really high. And they're like, you probably are having some sort of a stroke. And I was just like, serious? I mean, I've had carpal tunnel. You know, my hands go numb sometimes a lot when I'm sleeping because of repetitive motion from plumbing and all of that over the years. But, you know, my face has never gone numb. Never had that happen. So I end up going to the emergency clinic, and before I know it, I mean, you just go in. And I found out if you want to get to the front of the line, just tell them you got a numb face. And they will. I explain my symptoms, and the doors fly open. I'm in a wheelchair, and I am, like, gone. Well, I found out through this whole process over the next 24 hours, I found out a lot of things I didn't know, and then over the course of time, I found out a lot more. I'm not an expert on this, okay? I'm not claiming to be an expert, but I know this because this is my own personal reality. I had a series of what they call mini strokes, And they found out that in this process that I had two that evening, and they found I had a third mini stroke sometime before, and that I didn't even realize it that I had had. And they're telling me, the doctor sits down with me the next day. I ended up spending the night in the hospital, and it was my first night ever in the hospital, and it was just like, what this is like. You know, every hour they're coming in and they're waking you up and talking to you and stuff. And I'm just like, I know some of you are nurses and this is your job, but man, they put these socks on you that they pressurize and depressurize. And I'm like, how do you sleep with all this stuff? They got these monitors on you and you turn over and you beep. And I'm just like, no wonder I'm stressed out. But I found out that these little three spots on my brain literally combined, Brother Seidel, are the size of a head of a pin. So if you look at a stick pin and you got that little tiny head of the pin, not the sharp end, but the other end, that's about the size of the area in my brain that was affected by these mini strokes. Now, when you look at this, and the doctor's explaining this to me, that through that little area in my brain, there are literally tens of thousands of neural passageways that information travels through. We're talking about the size of a pinhead. All of that information travels through. And if that part of my brain is damaged, and it no longer will accept information to travel through, my brain has to reprogram itself. I can't go in, look at a program, and say, oh boy, I'm going to take the upgrade, click it, stick my finger in or stick my hand in, and impulses go through, and my brain's reprogrammed. No, you have to work at this to retrain your brain. Now, I feel very blessed standing here today, because sitting in the back of our congregation, which we see every Sunday and every Wednesday when they come in, we see Brother Jim Degg. And Brother Jim Degg is a survivor of a very serious stroke, to the point to where that he had to retrain himself to how you walk. Because a serious stroke, now we're not looking at like half your brain is wiped out. We're looking at something that's the size of a popcorn kernel or less that affects. But it you have no idea when you have a stroke that this is going to put this much of an effect on your body. But Brother Jim had to learn how to walk again. He had to learn how to talk again. He can't drive a vehicle yet, but all of these things, and his lovely wife, who is his like as patient as anyone that I know of, Sister Dell, it works with him. I've gone to the university and to some of the classes where they are teaching him, when you fall, how do you maneuver to get yourself back up? It's amazing. Because, see, the struggle is real, and it affects every aspect of our lives. Now, I'm talking about the closest I can come to understanding some of these issues. It is a mental struggle. Having even a minor stroke to a major stroke, it's a mental struggle which triggers an extreme physical reaction, which in turn can affect us in a very spiritual way. So in one little swoop of issue, our mental, our mind, our physical bodies, and our spiritual well-being can all be in jeopardy. Now, I know I'm talking about strokes here. I'm not talking nothing more or nothing less. But what happens in our minds if we have what we would call an emotional breakdown? What happens if our minds are affected because of pressures in this world, because of financial pressure and because of marriage pressure, relationship pressure, all of these things coming against you at one time, and your mind cannot simply process what is happening, and you begin to have what is called an emotional breakdown. And our minds are affected, very similar to a stroke, where we lose the capacity to process. One of the most frustrating things in my recovery in all of this, which was not serious, but it was frustrating, was I was trying to put a floor down in our home, and I had to call my brother and say, John, could you come help me? He's like, what do you need help with? I need help with this floor. You know how to do that. I said, I know how to do this. I've done it before, but for some reason, I can't connect the dots. Just come help me connect the dots. It was then that I learned that my brain functions because of constant doing things over and over and over and over again. Repetition. You got here today to this church and to where you are sitting in your pew because you've done it before. That's how our brains work. We program our brains through doing the same thing over and over and over again. That works well with good habits, and it also works for bad habits. We'll split that out later. But I'm struggling with this, and he had to come in, and all he had to do was sit down and say, okay, this is what you do, bro. You do this, 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 and this. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can do that. And then I just did this, this, and this, and we kept moving forward. But you see, if your brains don't function, due to a mechanical breakdown, which would be in a stroke, that's a mechanical breakdown, we also can have what we would call a chemical breakdown in our brain. Now, you didn't expect all of this on a Sunday morning, did you? But this is life for so many people. And it's getting worse and worse and worse as the pressures in this world get greater and greater and greater. You see, our minds and our bodies, we may be okay physically as we were designed. Everything works physically well. But there's something that's out of balance in our minds and in our bodies in a chemical sense. Now, I remember years ago, my youngest brother, Steve, I believe he was around four. My mom could correct me on this. I believe he was around four when he was diagnosed with very serious kidney failure. And I think he was between four and five when the doctors had basically said, this was before kidney dialysis. I think kidney dialysis, just faintly remembering, there was maybe one or two hospitals in the whole entire world that had kidney dialysis machines. It was not covered by insurance. It was experimental. It wasn't going to happen. So my youngest brother, at 5 years of age, overheard a conversation between my parents and the doctors that if this condition doesn't correct itself, or if he's not healed, or medicine that we're giving him is not working, he's literally going to drown in his own body fluids. Now, that was back when, as a parent, you couldn't stay overnight at the hospital with your kids. That was just, I remember I was one of the experimental dads that actually got to go into the delivery room when our daughter was born. But I mean, for years, it was just, you grew up in that era, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You just didn't spend the night in hospitals. Couldn't happen. Didn't work that way. You go home. So we would all go home, and my poor youngest brother was there by himself processing all of this information that he heard. And he was scared to death to go to sleep because he was afraid if he went to sleep, he was going to die. He was on all kinds of heavy, heavy medications, way too much for a little five-year-old body to handle. His body bloated up to where you couldn't even recognize him. I remember when I went to visit him in the hospital, I was just a young guy myself, and I saw him, and I'm just like, who is that? That's your brother, Steve. I couldn't. It was just. I wasn't prepared for that, but nevertheless. So what ended up happening as this disease began to progress, God ended up healing him of this. I mean, just instantly, God took it away. But it took them years to wean his system off of the heavy medications that he was on. I said all that to say that things happen to us, whether when we're young or when we get older, and our bodies get out of balance as how God designed it to be. Some of us, we get it out of balance because we do it to ourselves. We belly up to a bar and we consume too much alcohol, and our bodies become chemically imbalanced where the alcohol affects how we function. All kinds of drugs are available now. The new fentanyl craze, that's an epidemic that's deadly, that's sweeping our country. People can't cope with life, so they consume fentanyl and other drugs to numb their systems, and it kills them. Why? Because our bodies weren't designed to have that type of an imbalance and still function. So when we look at this, we're talking about the physical side of mental health, but there's a spiritual side to this. So what is the spiritual issue? Part of the struggle is discerning the extent of the spiritual issue when it comes to mental health. Where do you draw a line in here? How do you determine, is this physical or is this mental? Is this chemical or is this a spiritual problem? Remember our three-legged stool. Mental, physical, spiritual is how we created. So in order to have a healthy body, we have to have a healthy mind, and we need to be spiritually healthy as well. We need to be in balance, in sync with ourselves, and that doesn't always happen. So the question comes up, and I've heard this before, is mental illness a punishment for sin, or is it just some sort of a natural illness? Now, we all have spiritual struggles. We all struggle from time to time with our identity in Jesus Christ, his will for our lives, his purpose for our lives. We struggle sometimes with receiving forgiveness if maybe we have a habitual habit that we have trouble fighting and overcoming, and we have struggles with forgiveness. The enemy of our souls, he's not just an enemy of our soul, he's the enemy of our mind. He would love to get into our heads and remind us just how undeserving and how worthless we are. Sometimes we struggle with finding. We're supposed to be full of the Holy Spirit, full of joy of the Holy Ghost, and we can't find that joy, even though we know we have the Holy Ghost because we heard ourselves speaking in tongues in prayer in the morning. But with mental health issues, the struggle becomes much more complicated than that. Another difficult question that many people ask is whether it's directly related to a person's sin. I've heard this before. I've had people try to apply this into other people's lives. Well, they're having this problem, so they must have a sin issue. I'm going to go to John chapter 9, verse 2, and I'm almost finished here this morning. I know we're hitting the 12 o'clock button up there, but bear with me. His disciples ask him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, and he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me." So the rabbis, the smart spiritual people in the religious community saw a blind man, and at that point in time, and still today, some people are ignorant and foolish and stupid enough to think that if you have a physical affliction, it's because somebody in your family sinned. Let me just put it this way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Period. I'm not the way I am because my mom and dad sinned. You're not the way you are because your mom and dad sinned. Sometimes we are the way we are because we do stupid stuff when we sin, and it affects us. But we have to understand natural disasters. I hear this all the time. Well, God this, God that. Listen, when God created the heavens and the earth and he put things into motion, he put it into motion and he backed up and he watched it happen. He doesn't micromanage his planet and he doesn't micromanage his people. He gave us wills. We have the choice. We have an option to choose whether we want to be here or we don't. Natural disasters, tornadoes, tsunamis, earthquakes. The recent earthquake in Turkey and Syria, they're looking at over 200,000 dead or missing. We like to look at this and say, God's just bringing judgment. No, somebody didn't know how to build a building correct and it collapsed and killed thousands of people. You can look at this all different ways. Sometimes God uses natural disasters as judgment. But not always. But sometimes we're so quick to judge things that we don't really know for sure. And if you don't know for sure, trust me on this, then don't say it. Don't make yourself look dumb. We can look at illness. We can look at diabetes and cancer and Ebola and COVID and all of these stuff. Is this as a result of punishment or a particular sin or sinner? Well, I don't know. Did Brother Eli Hernandez that died of COVID, did he die a sinner? Where do you draw the line? How does one person get it that's a saint, another person get it that's a sinner? One, it's a punishment. One, it's a blessing because they're in heaven. Why do you want to bend your mind around all of these things? Let it go. God's the judge. It's not my decision. It's not your call to judge everything. Let it go. Our planet is suffering. Hear me now. Our planet is suffering from the fall of humanity brought on by fallen nature of humanity or men. When sin entered into the world, that three-legged stool was permanently placed out of balance in all three areas. So that means your mind can be in Christ and it can be out of Christ elsewhere. Our bodies, we can be in Christ and we can be outside, broken, sick, struggling. Our spirit, our souls, all of this, everything can be in sync or out of sync. This is what sin brought into this world. Disease and disaster are evidence of a brokenness caused by the sin, the fall of humanity, not by a specific sin, but by the whole encompassed sin of humanity. Cancer is not because Adam ate an apple. Cancer is because sin entered into the world and God put a curse on the world. That's where dandelions came from, by the way. Thorns, thistles. All you gardeners out there, you know what I'm talking about? All of those weeds. So mental illness is not solely a spiritual issue. It's a natural illness from a brokenness caused by the fall. And we have to see that on top of spiritual measures, there are benefits and helpful medications and treatments available to fight this illness. And I'm going to bend your theology in half right now. But understand something. Scripture and medication are not enemies. If it was and you're on blood pressure medicine right now, you're on the wrong side of the equation. If you take a Tylenol, you're on the wrong side of the equation. If you take an aspirin, Pepto-Bismol, anything. Scripture and medication are not enemies. Scripture and medication are counseling. It's not a sin to ask for professional help if you're struggling. How many of you have been to a doctor because of a physical illness? How many of you have been to a doctor because of a mental illness and nobody wants to raise their hands? It's a doctor. One works on the mind and one works on the body. Understand that. God can absolutely, spiritual authority, listen to me, is not challenged by the usefulness of medical science. We fall and break a leg. I know very few people that say, you know what, I'm going to tough this out, and I'm going to wait until Sunday morning, and I'm going to hobble into church with that bone sticking out the side of my leg, and I'm going to ask the elders to pray for me. You know what we do? We call 911, and we can't get to the hospital fast enough. But a brother or sister that is struggling with mental health issues, and they call a counselor, and we look at them and say, are you nuts? You need to pray. What happened to the broken leg? I'm passionate about this because so many people struggle, and we get so judgmental. We'll go to a doctor. We don't have a problem going to a doctor. If they need to go to a counselor, let them go to a counselor. It's that simple. God can miraculously intervene and right a chemical imbalance in our minds the same that he can heal a broken leg. So virtually everyone acknowledges that there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor with a broken leg, but for those that have a broken mind, they need to be able to go someplace where they can get help. Now understand, I said there's a difference between good help and godly help. Go to a godly Christian counselor. You see, the deep-seated belief that somehow seeking help for mental health reasons can not only pit scripture and medicine as enemies. Hear me out, church. This deep-seated belief that we have that somehow seeking help for mental health reasons can not only pit scripture and medicine as enemies, but also ostracize and dishearten and the countless Christians who struggle in this area. I love my brother Steve, but he would not go to counseling because there was a stigma in his mind that there was, if I went to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, that there's something wrong in my head and I don't want to cross that bridge, and he couldn't handle it and he took his own life. That is how real and deep the struggle is. We have to defeat the shame. We have to defeat the guilt that all of us can live, so that all of us can live our lives with wholeness as Jesus Christ designed our lives to be. My desire is that we all have peace. My desire is that we all have joy. My desire is that we all have understanding. My desire is that God moves in and heals our hearts, our minds, and our souls. He touches all of us because we all need Jesus. I'm finished. Let's stand. Jesus came that we can have life. And not just more abundantly for some, but more abundantly for all. Now we have a lot of times we have an altar call. And our altar call is if you're sick in your body. People limp down here. Brother Seidel's limping today, a knee injury. I'm picking on him because I know he'll be at work on Monday. He won't get offended. We have... God is good all the time. And we don't think twice about it if somebody comes down and they're limping, and we know that some people have cancer and some people have heart issues and all kinds of things. But we don't know how to deal with it when someone says, struggling in my mind. We kind of just stumble on that one. I have to admit, I don't know that I have an answer for all of it as well. But I do understand and I do realize that the struggle is very real. And it doesn't go away just because you close your eyes and you sleep. Any more than when you close your eyes and you go to sleep, your cancer or your heart issues or whatever you're struggling with goes away. It's still there. I think sometimes that the mental pressures in a person's mind is far worse and intense than the physical pressures that we feel sometimes. Because it affects everything else. It affects our relationships. It affects our appetites. It affects how we process life. Everything is affected by what happens in our minds. And the enemy wants to control, and he wants to beat, and he wants to batter our minds relentlessly. He's not going to quit if he gives you a physical affliction or if you get a physical affliction. He's going to take, and soon as you're diagnosed and that diagnosis comes in, what's the first thing is your mind begins to go. And the enemy gets in that thought stream. And things begin to spin out of control in our minds before anything else actually happens in our bodies. Maybe even sometimes before we even feel any physical problem in our body. Our minds have already gone and stretched out, and the enemy has hopped on that train of thought, and he's now inside your head. Yeah. This God you serve, yeah. Look what happened to you now. Why are you still going to church when you're sick? You need to be at home. I admire some of our saints that to the very end were faithful. I said this Wednesday night, and I want to say it again, because they never let the enemy in their head. So this morning, as we close this out, we're going to go backwards here. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, repented of your sins, been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we have an altar team that would love to walk you through and help you through that process, salvation. This is, if you want to renew your mind, you want to renew your life, this is where you start. So we're going to ask you to come right down here on this side. These next two areas, we're just going to mingle this morning, okay? Can we do that? If you have a physical issue, a mental issue, a struggle in life. When I say struggle in life, I'm talking if your marriage is on the rocks and it's about to blow up and the enemy is in your head, he's in your home, you can change that this morning. I can't change it for you, but you can. I just want you to come up in this whole section up here is going to just be reserved for people that are struggling mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever it may be, whatever state of your health, if it's in jeopardy, mentally, physically, spiritually, the rest of this area is for you. And I want our ministers and our elders to come up. And we're going to pray this morning that God would give you wisdom and God would guide you. Jesus was a teacher, and he was a very good teacher. I don't have all the wisdom of Jesus, but I can steer you in a direction where you can get what you need. That's what we're here for. So we're going to open up this altar as our worship team starts. Remember, kids, keep close to your parents. And Spanish service starts at noon or at 1 o'clock. God bless you. Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
From the mountains, Jesus in the street.
Ready for fish. Before we leave today, I know some of you may think, well, it's kind of a pretty heavy topic sometimes. Sometimes we just have to cross those bridges. And but those of you, and you know who you are, that the enemy has gotten inside of your mind, I'm going to do something here. Give you some advice to do that's going to be a little contrary to what maybe has been done in the past. I want you to go home and I want you to get a nice meal. I want you to sit down, relax, and enjoy it and get some rest. Because if you want, the doctor will tell you, well, you need to go home, get some rest. You know, you're physically, you have issues, struggles. Sometimes we have to get rest for our minds. And then one of the scripture, Paul talks about putting on the helmet of salvation. It's for your salvation. It's for my salvation. It's what keeps my mind free and clear for the enemy getting into it. Because what happens is your kids get sick, your wife gets sick, you miss a few days at work because you have to take care of kids and a sick wife, and you get tired and you get worn out, and the enemy steps into your mind and you begin to question, you begin to struggle, and it gets worse and worse and worse. But I found out for me, there are times in my life when, yes, I need to pray. I need to get a hold of God. There are times in my life when I need to fast. There are times in my life where I need to dive deeper into His Word. And there are times in my life when I need to just simply eat right and sleep right. And we're going to get into some of that a little bit later. I wanted to lay a foundation Wednesday night and this morning. We're going to continue this on Wednesday and through the next few weekends. But God bless you. We can get through this. We can win this battle. We'll never be fully whole till we're on the other side. No one here will be fully whole until you're on the other. Then you'll know what fully wholeness feels like. Now we have no idea. So God bless you. Spanish ministry will be in here in a few minutes. So we do need to turn this over to our brothers and sisters in Spanish ministry. So conversation, when they get up, start worshiping, that's our cue. God bless you. Love you all. We'll see you back here on Wednesday evening.